Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Joining us this morning is advocate, it's Lisa Tipanyane, who's the Chief Executive Officer at the South African Human Rights Commission. A very good morning. Thanks for joining us once again. How are you doing?
Good morning to you and to your listeners. I'm fine.
Good. So this is quite a difficult one because what you're being asked to do, my sense of this, is interpret the law. And the law says it's not necessarily going to be unconstitutional, but it doesn't mean that it's the right way to go either. That's how I'm interpreting your statement. Would that be the correct interpretation?
Well, in some ways, but look, the issue for me is this. There are two major rights here which might appear to be in conflict and which need to be balanced properly. We know that the vaccines basically help us, to respond much better to the virus. And also this will mean, therefore, a less burden on our health systems. It will also mean less people will be dying. It also means, less people will be too sick. On the other hand, then you have the right under Section 12, the right to bodily integrity, that, you have a right over your body, and therefore you should not be forced to get vaccines. And both of these rights are in the Constitution, and therefore we need to find a way of balancing them. So the Section 36 of the Constitution allows for any right to be limited as long as the requirements of the limitation clause are met, that, the limitation must be a law of general application, it must be rational, it must be fair, it must be justifiable in an open and democratic society. So that's really what we need to do. If we want to limit the rights in terms of Section 12, then we must pass a law which will meet this requirement. But that's why we're saying then ideally we should be encouraging almost all people who are able to be vaccinated to be so vaccinated, because this will then basically minimize the burden on our health system and therefore advance the right to health in our country.
Yeah, and is this likely to be tested? I mean, if it is mandated, do you think that this is going to find its way to the Constitutional Court?
Certainly, like issues of the death penalty, corporal punishment, abortion, and many other rights. We are a diverse society in our country, and therefore, that's why we're the Constitutional Court. We'll always be testing these issues, and I think this is normal in our society. However, some of those things could really be avoided, if we could have a much more broader discussion and understand that at the end of the day, we need to put the interests of our country and our society above other issues. At the same time, we should also be careful not to undermine individual rights, because at the end of the day, individuals in the society makes countries and nations.
But it's that balance, I think, that we are always striving to figure out, where the individual rights versus a collective right and protection, where that point lies. And it probably differs in every country slightly and in every society.
Yeah, that's why we require the wisdom of Solomon, so to speak, because we need to take into account in our own history. I mean, so there has been concerns before that, during the past, the right to bodily integrity was being undermined, by unacceptable, health experiments. Same thing we saw under Nazi Germany. So people are still concerned, about how far should the state go. But on the other hand, again, we live in a society, therefore, what else should we be doing to protect as a collective against threats like COVID-19.
Does it differ between, is there a different way of looking at it between government, let's say, and a company? So for a company to decide, as many have already done, that, if you aren't vaccinated, you can't work for our company or you can't come into our office building. Is that different to state or government deciding it?
Not quite, because, government is also an employer. So the directive by the Department of Labor, which guides people as to, what kind of policies they should employ at the workplace in order to create a healthy and safe environment, is definitely going to become an issue. We are aware that a number of companies are already moving this direction. But again, the issue is this. Even companies are bound by the Constitution. So we'll have to look into the unions, for example, already COSATU has been opposing even these issues, mandatory vaccination at the workplace. So again, there needs to be a discussion to see, you know, what is in the interest of our people as a country. We need a vibrant economy. We need the workplace to be a safe and healthy space. At the same time, rights must be protected as well. So again, in the private sector, I mean, there has to be this discussion, and people have to agree. And that's why, for example, the directive from Labour Department does require consultations at the workplace. You know, each employer should say what is workable and what is doable. So if, for example, the collective agrees that they have these policies at the workplace, then why not? At the same time, they leave that challenge, then, of course, the cause will require then where is the law which provides for this position.
I actually found it very interesting yesterday because I had to have a meeting, an in-person meeting, which I haven't had for a while at a company. And we were just chatting about it afterwards. And most people, of course, have been vaccinated as they are, everyone is eligible. And one person who I particularly like said, no, I'm not vaccinating. And I found myself almost saying, oh, it's fine, you know what, we're all vaccinated, it's okay. Even though I wouldn't have said that if I didn't know and like the individual that I was talking to. And I thought that was so interesting how we get swayed quite easily by our own emotions. I found myself being swayed by my own emotions. And that's why what you're saying is so interesting, because when we look at it on an individual basis and companies look at it from within their own environment versus a government that just sort of puts this sort of blunt, you know, this blunt instrument of the law down, it's very, very different. And we might find ourselves getting to much more nuanced and acceptable solutions if we look at the people and individuals along the way.
You're actually raising a very interesting point in the sense that, you know, one, the issues of human rights have always been emotional. Take the issues of the death penalty. I'm sure, you know, even now, despite what the law says, still not settled, you know, in view of the high levels of crime and vice versa. But I think for me, you know, what is really key is this, that we need to learn to live as a society, as South Africans, in our diversity. And I think 27 years later, we're still learning how to balance our different interests, because there are emotions on either side, that people are very emotional about vaccines not being mandatory, that people are being very emotional about vaccines being mandatory. So then how then do we find the balance? How do we then live together as a cohesive unit in this diversity? So I think these developments are really helping us to reflect a little bit more as to how do we then set up society which is fair and just, you know, which advances interests, which actually promotes, a well-being of our people.
Absolutely,
and
right.
Togetherness.
Absolutely, because that's the ultimate goal, isn't it? It isn't just to impose a whole bunch of laws that needs to be tested against the Constitution. It's to create a just society where everybody feels that they have a home and a place. That is, whilst protecting everybody's rights, of course.